Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson, you know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest.
Hey guys, Bobby here, and I wanted to share an episode of the Bobbycast that you might have missed. Now it's Gabby Barrett. You probably saw on the header there. She finished third on the first season of American Idol on ABC, which was the first season that I was working on the show too. So I got to know her pretty well on that show. And she wasn't even living in town as in Nashville yet when we recorded this. So she stopped by pretty fresh off the show, going back between Nashville and Pittsburgh, and you'll hear me lecturing her that she needs to move to town, which, by the way, since then, she has. And now she has a top 20 song. So I wanted to bring this back. She's really, like, made a nice career move, starting to be a real factor in Nashville, and I wanted to share this episode with you in case you missed it. Also, I don't know when you're listening to this, but season 3 of American Idol on ABC premieres Sunday at 8, 7 Central. Here's episode 160 as we go back. Thought this is a cool one to bring back up. Here is Gabby Barrett on the Bobbycast. See? Episode 160 here with Gabby Barrett. Right before we went on, you can ask the question and go ahead.
I said, what is the purpose of having headphones if you just, in talking into a mic, if you take off your headphones, you could hear the same thing?
True. Now you hear that.
I get it. There's music.
There'll also be music that's accompanying our conversation.
Okay. Sound effects.
Yeah.
Got it.
For example, if I were to play I Hope, if you didn't have headphones on, you wouldn't hear it. But because you have...
Oh, okay.
See?
Got it. They're useful. Okay. Get it.
Well, you want to mess your hair up?
Yeah, it's going to flatten the top of my hair, but it's okay.
Well, it's really rainy, too. Is that a thing for you?
Yes, of course. You should have seen me running to get in here.
And what, that, my house?
Yes.
This is the first time you've been here, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So, we met on American Idol.
Yes.
They brought me into do the top 24, to mentor the top 24, and they brought me back again later on when it was you, Caleb, and Maddie at the end. So, you made it to the top three of last season. You made it to the final show.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
But I guess we had spent a little time together because I was doing a show in Pittsburgh, a stand-up show.
Mm-hmm.
And you and your family came to the show. And this is while Idol was still going. And I really couldn't even say you were there.
Yeah.
Because it was still secret. And they wouldn't even let you get up and sing because we were going to do a song. Remember that?
I know. I was so bummed about that, too. But, yeah, I didn't come to that show. And you put on a great show.
Hey, thanks.
Pretty funny guy. But
is that how you laugh when I tell a joke?
Yeah.
I'm so curious about what happens. And I want to, guess, work backwards, right? Like today, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Today, what did you do in town today?
Today, I had phone call meetings, and I had a record label meeting.
Okay, without saying the name of the record label.
Yes.
You went to a record label and did what?
I sang some songs
for
them.
You did?
Yes, I did.
So describe what that's like, because here you are, you're a new artist.
Mm-hmm.
Do you live here yet?
No.
Are you moving here?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's not a bad thing that I don't live here, because if I fly down here for 2 weeks but then fly back to living somewhere for free, I'll take that as of right now.
If you don't live here, you'll never make it here.
You don't think?
To start, no. If you make it big, you can move out. You can go. Justin Moore does it.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in Arkansas, but he was here.
Yeah.
Zach Brown is probably the biggest example.
Mm-hmm.
But again, he's Zach Brown. So not that you're not Gabby Barrett, but you're just Gabby Barrett right now. My advice to you, I'm still mentoring you. You ready? Ready?
Yeah.
I know you're 18,
but
you got to move here. You have to, because you have to be with everybody all the time. You have to be writing all the time. Like every day, every night. You have to be writing.
But how do you pay your bills in your house?
Exactly. You go and you work at Tootsie's, you wait tables. There's no shame. You can't have shame anymore. It's how bad do you want it? Because if you're not here, there are going to be so many opportunities pass you by. Someone's going to go, we need someone tomorrow night, and you're going to be in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and I'll fly down that night.
Yes, Bobby,
that's what's going to happen. I'm telling you, I've already done it before.
You haven't done it.
I have. I've taken many red eyes down here before.
Well, red eye, not the same. I'm just telling you, it's not going to work until you come down here and work.
All right.
And then it's going to take a while. It's going to take a couple years.
Okay.
Do you believe that?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I'm trying to get in the door as early as I can, but yeah.
Because you're good. There's no doubt about it. Thanks. It's crazy to come to a place like Nashville where everybody's so good.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talent.
And you need to be around them all the time because they'll make you better and you'll make them better.
Yeah.
And you'll write songs all the time. And you'll have, you ever been to camp? Like church camp or regular camp or summer camp? I don't know what people go to. You ever been to anything like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know how you go in with your little group and those are like the people and you're like, oh, that's my class. I'm all my mama folks.
Right.
Or like high school even. Did you graduate high school?
Yeah. Okay. I went to high school.
Like everybody you went to high school with. When you graduate, like that's your class. You make those in Nashville. And then as everybody rises, they kind of pull each other up or they, you know, they help them. Anyway, my point is you have to move here.
We'll see.
Okay. We'll see.
We'll make it in the plans.
Are they telling you have to move here?
I actually talked to Luke Bryan about it, and he said, he's the one who actually said to me, he said, if you're coming down every 2 weeks and then going back for 2 weeks, he was like, you're doing all right. And so that's what I listened to.
Don't listen to Luke. Luke makes $60 million a year. He's completely out of reality. Okay. Luke moved here. Luke had to move here to make it.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't want to harp on that. I actually have quite general questions about what happened today. So tell me about today. You go and they say, hey, come play. Is something like your leather rubbing? What's that noise?
Leather squeaking.
It's squeaking against the cord, I think, of the headphones that make the noises.
So you go and you go to a record label room. Who's in that room?
It's me, my manager, and three other people.
That's it?
Yes.
And they say what to you?
Or, I'm sorry, and my guitar player.
Okay. And they say what? Do what?
We just started talking about what's been going on after Idol and before Idol. And we played some of the songs that I have, some of the songs I have in preparation to release, as well as I Hope. And then I did some songs live so they could hear what I sound like live.
And how many songs do you play them?
How many songs did I do?
Mm-hmm.
Three.
And is it awkward when there are only three people watching and they're like judging everything that you're doing, or are you kind of just getting your own space?
It's definitely a challenge for sure, because it's like when you have three people, I felt like I was back on the executive rounds on American Idol whenever the producers were in the room.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was only 10 people because it's all eyes are on you and it's more concentrated, smaller group than a big crowd. It's easier to do that. So it is, but I think it went well. So
were you watching their faces as you were playing?
Yeah. Yeah, to see if they liked the song or not.
And what were they giving you?
They liked it.
Yeah?
They liked it, yeah. It's like, it's a little bit of like everything. So they were liking it. At least I hope so.
And what do they say when you leave the room? Is it, hey, that was great, like generic, and then they go and tell you really later how they feel, or did they give you any sort of direction?
Normally you can tell, because I have met with a few record labels before, and normally you can tell if they are like feeling it or not. And their reaction seemed pretty genuine. He was like, basically, I'm really thinking about being on board here.
Oh, yeah? So what do you have to do next?
I just told them I would continue to send them songs and content and stuff, and if they need anything from me, that I'll send it.
And then you went from over there to over here?
Yes.
That's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool day. You get to go play in front of big record people.
It's a good day.
So tell me about, let's go back to Idol. Let's kind of rewind a bit.
Okay.
So you auditioned where? What city?
I auditioned in Nashville, Tennessee.
You did?
Yeah.
Why'd you fly down here to do it?
Because when the producers had contacted me to audition for the show, they said you could choose from three places, and I was like, yeah, Nashville's definitely the place.
How did they find you to tell you to do the show?
They have producers that reach out, or look on the internet through YouTube and through hashtags on Instagram and things like that, and I would always put hashtag American Idol and stuff, and they reached out from seeing videos on the internet.
And the first time a producer reaches out, are you going, come on, you messing with me?
Almost, yeah. Because, well, when you get an email like, a producer wants to Skype with you, you're like, is this spam or is it real? So, like, you don't want to, like, set yourself up. So you're like, okay, if this is real, whatever. And then when you see them come up on the thing and they're like, okay, we'll call you back. You're like, oh my gosh, it's real. So it was really cool.
So what does the producer say to you when you get on Skype? It's like, hi, I'm Gabby. Hi, I'm producer.
I think they're like, say your name and your age. And then what are you going to sing for us? And you tell them what you're going to sing. You sing. And then they're like,
you sing on Skype.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did have to sing on Skype. And he was like, what are you doing these days? And I was like, yes. Because I had a feeling he was going to say, if he said that, then that means he likes what he's hearing. So
do you know who it was?
His name's Peter. Yes.
So you sing in front of Peter. Peter says, come to Nashville.
Yeah.
Do they buy your plane ticket or you just get like a kind of cut pass?
Did they buy my plane ticket? I can't remember that. I don't know if I bet because I don't deal with any. I didn't deal with any of that at the time.
At that time, you were 16, 17.
I was 17, yeah.
Yeah. So you fly down.
Yeah.
Do you cut the line at all since they've already seen you?
I was like the first one there. I remember I got to, it was at the, I'm forgetting the name of the country.
Bridgestone?
The country music call.
The Hall of Fame?
Yeah. It was there. Okay. It was there. And I was downstairs in the lobby at 6:45. And I remember I was like the first one there. And then they all took us upstairs and then one by one did the audition.
And how'd it go for you? Did you feel like you knocked it out?
I mean, it didn't go the way that I thought it was going to. No.
What did you expect, first of all? You expected to walk in and what?
Well, I walked in and sang a country song because that is mainly what I love to do as my main genre. And they were kind of confused by it because I did originally start in a gospel choir. R&B was originally my roots. And so they weren't very fond of the country at first. And then, so I actually got through with a gospel song, a gospel choir.
What'd you sing?
His Eyes on the Sparrow.
And then they said, okay, but you're a country artist.
Well, I actually sang Carrie Underwood, Good Girls, and Church Bells.
You sang three songs?
Yeah, I had to sing to those two songs, and they were like, do you have anything that's not Carrie? And I was like, I have Gretchen Wilson, Redneck Woman, who's like, don't sing that. And I was like, okay. And then we were only supposed to have three songs prepared. So whatever they asked me to do, it was on the spot, on the fly from there. And then they asked me to do a church song, and I was like, okay, that's the first one I'm going to do. Because that was my main song when I was in the church singing when I was 9.
So then you go back home.
Yeah.
And they say, you get the golden ticket or whatever, that go to Hollywood, mm-hmm. right? So that's going to be, a few weeks, a month before?
That was like a couple months. It was in October, and then Hollywood Week was in January.
So you had to wait that long, just excited mm-hmm. the whole time?
Yeah.
Like every day they're going, I can't wait, I can't
Prepping.
Wait, I can't wait.
Yeah, I was coming up with like a blueprint in my head. If I'm to pass this, what am I going to do next, the next, the next, instead of coming up with it while I'm there.
I did Hollywood Week this year. I started at the beginning of the season.
That's and right, yeah.
That Hollywood Week, kind of a grind.
Oh, yeah. That's the toughest week.
The overnight, the yep. having to get in the groups.
Yep.
Even I was feeling bad for the kids. You watch on TV, it looks fun. And it was still
right.
It still was fun, but these kids were getting in groups and exactly. fighting with each other.
Yeah.
And they were all sleep deprived.
No, it's a difficult week. I remember going through that week and I was like, well, shoot, like, this is hard. I mean, but it was fun, too, because I'm a person that likes to challenge myself on literally everything. So if something's a challenge to me, I'm like, let's go. Let's go. And so that week it separates the weak from the strong, honestly, who cracks and who doesn't and who's ready to go on with the competition. Because the competition is not easy. It's not easy at all. So whoever can outlast the longest.
So you do the group, then it's solo and group. And mm-hmm. you move on to the top 24. And then that's where I came in, and I guess I met you for the first time.
Yeah. I remember what, I'm trying to think if I can remember what you were wearing. I remember what I wore.
I don't remember what I was wearing. They just give me clothes. I mean, I have someone that picks out my clothes, and then I just put them on.
There you go. Okay.
Now, those producers pepper you with so many questions all the time, though.
Yeah.
Like, they just, and they brought me in to not be a producer, right? To be a human.
Right.
That you guys could actually talk to. And
right.
I could be like, well, I'm a human, too. I understand this.
Right.
But man, I would watch those producers and they're all black. And they get behind the camera and they just like throw 1,000 questions at you guys all the time.
Yeah, they do. They always. I mean, just to get every single possible answer, I guess, out of us that they can, because sometimes it's hard to get answers out when you're excited about something.
What was your storyline?
My storyline on American Idol.
Yeah, like what were they highlighting about you? Because everybody kind of has a story,
right? Yeah.
Your dad was there a lot because you were underage, minor as they call them.
Yeah.
And so your family was there.
Yeah, that was my main story. I'm just extremely close with my dad. One of eight. I was always a daddy's girl growing up. And so he, you know, even before American Idol, when I started singing at 9 in the choir, and then 11, I did my first show all the way up to 17. And at 17 years old, before Idol, I did 136 shows that year alone. So,
Doing shows. In a gospel choir, or just playing yourself?
No, myself.
Yeah.
So, like, I was with the gospel choir from 9 to 11, and then 11, I left the gospel choir and started doing shows, doing the anthem for the Pirates Steelers, just different stuff all the way up. So it was like a grind for 6 years.
So you sang the anthem for the Pirates? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, the Pirates, Steelers.
I guess the Steelers would be a bigger thing because it's more concentrated in one game.
Yeah.
Nerve-wracking to sing the anthem, and it was a Heinz Field?
Yeah, it was Heinz Field. No, because it was a bigger crowd. Because it's like bigger, you can't see like eyes on you. I got more of a adrenaline rush from that, and rather than nerves.
You ever mess up?
In general?
No, singing the anthem.
No, thankfully not yet. Hopefully not at all. But I actually have to sing the anthem coming up soon in March sometime for a basketball game. So.
How old were you the first time you sang it on a big stage?
The first time I sang ever on a big stage?
No, the national anthem.
12.
Yeah.
12 for the Pirates.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Were you freaked out at all?
You know what? You know what freaked me out a little bit? Wasn't the people. It was the delay of the mic in the stadium.
Because you'll do this?
Yep.
And then this comes over the top of you, like a second later.
A whole second.
Yeah.
And me being 12 years old, I just started, never experienced that before. I was like, what the heck? But I still like... managed to get through it, but that was difficult because some stadiums give you ears that you can turn up a pack and you don't hear that. They didn't, so I was like, well, I gotta deal with this.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. Talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first-wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct-to-consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
Tecovas.com. Tecovas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts. That's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the birth of outlaw country music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, to take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So
Join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me, in this fight. And just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only six numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833.
All right. What are you drinking over there? What is that?
Starbucks.
Well, yeah, I know it's a
strawberry acai refresher.
Is that your drink?
Mm-hmm. I don't drink coffee. I don't like coffee.
I'm not a coffee. When I was doing Dance with the Stars, I drank coffee a little bit because it was that's all they had.
Right.
And I was exhausted all the time, but it was never good.
Yeah.
Just bitter.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
But that, I start drinking too much sugar with that. But you're 18. Who cares, right?
My metabolism is very fast still.
I was in Chicago, I think, and you were opening up for Chris Lane when I was turning for Dance with the Stars. Were you playing at Joe's?
I did.
How was that going?
Really good. Chris Lane's tour was absolutely amazing. He's amazing, though. I mean, like, I can't say thank you to him enough because he brought me onto the tour with him and was so unbelievably nice and still is. Like, to this day, we're friends now, and it's just really cool to see somebody help you up and pick you up without looking for something in return, because it's very hard to find in this, especially in this music industry, to find somebody that wants to help you without asking for something in return. And he is one of those people, and I know that, you know, I'll be friends with him for a long time. So he's great, and it went good.
He tell you to move to Nashville? It's the only way to make it?
He did not. He did it.
All right, so you go and Idol, they're all whittling down. One goes down, one goes home, one goes home, one goes home. It's about the top five or so. Did you feel like you were the favorite?
The favorite?
Because I felt like you were the favorite. I felt like, not the favorite of the people, but I felt like you had the best shot to win. And about the top five, I was like, I think Abby's got the best shot to win the show.
Thank you.
Did you feel that way?
I was confident. I wanted to win, that's for sure. I knew since I got to that spot, I was like, all right, I'm going to hit it even harder, like, each time, especially as the numbers were dwindling down. So I was just really grateful, very thankful. And every time the cuts came, I was just I had to be accepting if I were to get eliminated, because I was just very thankful to have made it that far already.
You get to the final.
Yeah.
Final show. There's three of you left.
Yeah.
Going into that show, did you feel like, all right, I can do this. I'm going to win this thing. Were you feeling confident?
Yes. With the performances, yes, but I can tell you right now, whenever me, Maddie, and Caleb were standing there and Ryan Seacrest said, dim the lights, the second they said, or he said, Caleb's name, I knew for a fact I was not getting through. Because them saying Caleb, I knew, something told me that Maddie was getting through. And when they said Caleb, I freaking knew it. I was like, no way I'm getting through. No way I'm getting through. That's why, I mean, it was so, I accepted the fact before they even said her name, because I just knew. Something in your gut tells you, so. But I was okay with everything.
What happens after Idol is over? The next day, Idol's over. What do you do?
The next day, Idol's over. We had to do a bunch of press and interviews on the whole competition in general and how we took everything.
Does it suck to lose and have to go be interviewed? Or were you more so happy of the experience? Like, really, the next day?
Yeah, I was happy. Of course, you're sad that you lost, because when you set yourself up for something for so long, I mean, this was months upon months that you worked and you were so busy every single second, so focused on something. So, of course, it sucks that you lose, because everybody, you know, wants that winning spot. But I accepted the fact that it's okay, and that was all a part of the plan for me. So, and I'm really glad that Caleb and Maddie, you know, got first and second place. They absolutely deserve it. They're amazing, amazing singers, amazing people. So, you know, and especially as the numbers dwindle down, as you said, you get really close to people, and it's not even almost a competition anymore. It's you're happy to see if somebody succeeds.
Whatever, I wouldn't be.
I was.
Like, listen, there were four of us left on Dancing with the Stars, and I was like, I better win this freaking thing. I didn't think I was going to, but I didn't give a crap.
Were you close with any of the other?
Yeah, I liked everybody, but when it's time to compete, it's, well, I liked Milo and I. We're as close as we could be, because Milo's your age.
Okay.
But he was really good.
Yeah.
Ivana from Harry Potter, her and I got closer toward the end, but Alexis, Ren, and I weren't that close.
Okay.
So, but really, who cares? I was competing. Who gives a crap about the other people? Like, all week long, we were cool. And Milo and I were super cool. But then when it's game time, one, I don't want to lose. And if I lose, I'm going to want to eat my kidney. I'll be so... So, but, yeah, good for you. You're more mature than I am, apparently.
Oh, no. Well, thank you.
I'm being honest. I hate losing. Oof, I have a problem with losing. Inferiority complex. Don't worry. One day you'll have to go to the therapist and it'll all come out.
Therapist.
Yeah, it'll all come out. You're still young.
Okay.
Wait for it to all manifest.
Okay.
Just come back to the tape. Okay. So you go home. When do you go home? How many days after Idol's over?
Idol ended the 21st of May. That was when the finale was. 22nd, we did all the press. The next day after that, we went back.
So what's it like when you go home?
It's weird. I mean, it's so weird because you're so used, again, being in this, like, this different world. Literally, Idol's a different world. It's complete.
It's a bubble, man.
It's a flip. Mm-hmm. It's a flip of what your life has been. You're constantly working, constantly emotional. Like, it's insane. So going home and, like, you already know the answers to everything when with Idol, like, that you were curious about the entire time, it's, like, so weird. But then we had to prep for the Idol tour.
Oh, then you had to go to tour.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it wasn't all the way over.
No.
Because the show was over, but then you had more work to do for Idol.
Yeah.
They pay you guys good?
Decent.
Okay. Decent? Yeah. Enough to you?
It was cool? I guess, yeah.
Like, when I did Dancing with the Stars tour, they paid me like $1,000 a night, I think is what it was.
Really?
You guys weren't that much?
$1,000. Oh, heck to the
no. Hold on. It was $10,000 a week. And
if
you did a full week.
Oh, my gosh.
I think.
That's a lot.
It was something like that. Well, yeah, but I only did 1 week.
I mean, I don't know if that's a lot
to
you, but.
I did like 4 days. But I just wondered, was Idol tour like that?
No.
Oh, it wasn't. Oh. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know if.
No. No, it wasn't. No. I'm not an expert on the whole money thing, but I know that it wasn't like $10,000 a week.
I didn't. I'm just being
like
honest
you,
about.
Lucky. Some people don't get that right.
I don't
off
think
the
I made as much as the dancers, the pro dancers.
Yeah.
I think because we were working in short
But I'd
periods.
Still take that.
Well, yeah, and I did. That's what I did. I didn't have to do the tour.
I did, yeah.
But I was like, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Hook it up.
Right.
Okay, so you go. Did you save your money?
Did I save it?
From the tour? Or did you put it all in that jacket?
No, you know what I had to do? You have to pay. This is a whole thing with the music industry.
Go ahead.
You have to pay towards all of your music stuff because this is very expensive. So on a tour, you have to put money down on a tour for, and that's what I did. So yeah, I did save it from the Idol tour, and then I ended up putting it on the next tour that I went on right after the American Idol tour was over.
Now, did you make money back on that tour?
I think so.
Yeah,
off of merchandise. Yeah,
you need to start figuring this stuff out. You got you have a business manager yet?
Yes, I do.
All right, you have a good one.
Yeah.
That
He's
me,
a good one.
That for me was tough. I didn't understand the business manager stuff. Now I do because I like to understand everything.
Yeah. I'm not good at math.
You have a manager?
Do I have a manager?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's sitting right there.
All right. Just making sure.
He's sitting across the room.
Do you know the percentage that he gets?
No. I feel like I do know it, but
Go
I
ahead.
Don't know.
Spit it out. What do you think it is?
I don't know. Is it like 5, 10, 15? What is it?
If it's 5, we need to talk because I need to redo my deal.
I can't remember. You're quizzing me on all this math, and I failed geometry in
math.
School. This isn't. This isn't. I have people that handle that. I can't.
No, first of all, never be that person.
But it's my dad, so I can trust my dad.
Yeah,
with that.
Absolutely. Well, sometimes.
No. Yes.
There have been a lot of stories about dads.
Not my dad.
Here's my advice to you. Ready? I'm going to continue my mentorship because I'm in the business too.
Right. And you're like full time on this season, right?
Yeah.
Not just Top 24.
I'm talking about music and everything.
Okay.
You don't have to know everything that's coming in and out when you're so busy, right? You have people to do that, but you need to know what percentages you're paying people.
Okay. I'll pay attention to it more.
Just even in your phone. Like you need to know. Okay. 15% goes to my manager.
Was it 15?
I don't know what yours is. 10%.
Is that what yours is?
Yeah. 10% goes to agent. I don't know what yours is, but that's mine.
Okay.
You know, 5% goes to your business manager.
Okay.
Sucks.
Oh, I think that's, I know that one.
Yeah, it sucks because all your money's gone. You start making, you make a dollar and you owe 40 cents to people. But the good news is that they're worth more than that 40 cents. So it's actually a really good investment. But you just need to know that stuff.
Okay.
You have to know everything.
My numbers.
Just someone asks you, what do you pay your manager? That you don't look like a doofus. Because I used to be the doofus. They're like, what do you pay your manager? I don't know, 1%. They'd be like, dang. All right, that's note number two.
All right.
Two things we've learned so far. One, you have to move to Nashville to make it. Two, you need to know your percentages.
Okay.
My goodness, the only ever one I've done where I'm like tutoring the person during it. Okay, back to you.
Okay.
So you decide, what do you decide? You're home and you're like, I think I want to make a run in music, like in country music, or do you go, do I want to try, go to college? Like what's
No.
No, of course
college.
Not. What a terrible idea.
No, I knew I wasn't going to college before I did American Idol because me and my dad had talked about that. I told him, I said, this is plan A and plan B.
What was plan A and plan B?
To make it in music.
Okay.
And just, this was it. This is what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. And so even after American Idol, I knew already who I wanted to be like as an artist. That was something that but going through American Idol definitely reassured me of that, which is country. I always tell people I wanted to be the Whitney Houston of country music. So, and that's what I do want to be. So we'll see if it happens.
How many labels have you sang in front of?
Labels? Probably I'd say like 5 or 6.
Have you had some bad ones where you go, ooh, that one didn't go so well?
Not that I recall, thankfully.
Have you had some better than others where you're like, oh, for sure they want me to sign with them?
Yeah, it depends. I mean, it also depends on like the person's mood of the day. Like they could be having a bad day and it, you know, they're not in a good mood. So it just depends on the day.
Are you recording music right now?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, I've been working so hard on music since last year, since right after I got off the Chris Lane tour. Well, actually, in between the American Idol tour, I talked to Carrie Underwood on the phone. I called her because she, after American Idol,
Drop.
I'm just saying.
You're so cool. Go ahead.
Oh, please, your contacts in your phone.
Go ahead. We're not talking about me. Go ahead.
After American Idol, she reached out to me and said, you know, like, if you need any help with anything or I'm here for you. She gave me her number. I called her. We talked a few times, and I just asked her, I was like, what did you do after American Idol to keep your momentum going? She was like, I would just constantly work. Like, while I was on the American Idol tour, I would constantly work. And I said, okay, that's what I'm going to do. So during the American Idol tour, we would have like 4 shows, 5 shows in a row. Show. We had one day off. I would fly here, record and write, fly back the next day and do the show. So, I mean, like any day that I have off, I'm doing something, always music.
That's good. I like that about you.
Thank you.
That's something you really can't teach, a work ethic. And if you were doing that, that's good.
Yeah, thank you.
Because you could have taken the day off and just chilled.
Mm-hmm.
Probably tired.
Yeah, but I think of it as like, how many people want the same thing?
You know, everyone.
And what separates you from other people, though?
Listen, this is what you're coming into in Nashville. Everybody's really freaking good.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's really good. What separates you is the amount of work you put into it.
Exactly.
It's like the NFL. The line between super athletic and super, super athletic is so thin, it's the people who put in the work.
Yes.
But that's good. I didn't know you were doing that.
Yeah.
I commend you.
Thank you.
You get a ribbon after this is over for doing that.
I get a cookie.
This song here, I hope.
Yeah.
You wrote with John Knight?
Mm-hmm.
How'd you get that right?
Through a great management.
Okay, because I was like, dang, look at that. You already writing with like good, cool, big songwriters.
Yeah, they're really cool. I've gotten to write with a few cool ones.
You wrote this song with Zachary Kell and John Knight. I'm going to play a little bit of I Hope. Here we go. Produced by Ross Coverman.
Yeah. Woo, woo.
Come on. I can't even get these people in the room with me. You already got you come to town and work with the biggest and the best already.
I'm very blessed.
Yeah. So what's it like getting in a room with those guys? What do you do in a writing room? You walk in, you're like, hey, I'm Gabby Barrett.
Yeah. I just make sure like everybody's comfortable. I feel like that's such an important thing because when you're uncomfortable and like, I don't know, things just don't click very well and you don't connect and you don't come up necessarily with a good song or the best song that you come up with. So anytime I get into a room, I just want to keep writing songs that could blow up. And so we got in that room with John Knight and Zach Kale. Love them both. We got in that room that day. It was on Halloween of last year. And we got in the room and we were trying to figure out what we were going to write about. And I was like, let's write a relationship song. They're like, okay, let's write a song about a guy and a girl. You know, they don't work out, but the girl still kind of wishes him well. And I was like, that is not how girls think towards, like, when a guy does this wrong, we don't go, I hope, you know, I wish you well. We're like, I hope everything bad happens to you. I hope you get cheated on. Literally the worst thing. I know it sounds rough, but that's how girls are. When you do us wrong, that's why you don't do us wrong. So I wanted to write a song that was like, that was the song that females never got to say to that person so that when they hear it, they can dedicate it to that type of person. Words that, you know, they never got to say, but they really did feel.
Hmm. It's pretty cool that you switched it up like that.
Thanks.
Yeah, look at you all bitter. You ever,
bitter?
That happened to you?
Yeah, I've been in a bad relationship before. Yeah. So I understand and can relate to girls that have too.
Who else you written with that's cool?
I've written
You don't have to list them all. Give me a couple though.
David Garcia, Josh Miller, Zach Hale, John Knight, Ross Copperman, Josh Keir.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's like the heavy hitters, man. Your people must think you're pretty good if they're getting them right with you.
That's a good thing.
That is a good thing. So, okay, Thank so you're you. Here today.
Yes.
Then what happens? Do you play tomorrow? Do you go back home for like 8 months and then come back for another day or what?
Go home for 8 months?
Yeah.
Come on now. No. No, tomorrow I'm trying to think of my schedule. Tomorrow I have a writing session actually with Zach Hale and two others from 11 to 3. And then I have to record demos on another song that I did.
So you get a lot of work done while you're here?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
It's stacked schedule.
Is your dad here?
Yeah.
Oh, he is, even though you're 18?
He's here. Yeah, because you can't, like, he doesn't want to leave me by myself. You can have a girl, an 18-year-old girl, wandering around.
You can.
Yeah, but if you had a daughter that was 18, would you want her by herself down here?
Oh, I mean, I'd like a girlfriend, much less a daughter.
All
right, I'm saying if.
I think if she was like, I'm going to go pursue something. College, same thing. If you went to college, he's not with you. I remember having this conversation with you, though, while we were on Idol.
Yeah.
I was like, eventually, you got to cut the cord. Remember that conversation?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. You don't have to do anything.
I know, but he's very loyal to me. Yeah. And so I believe that I'm supposed to be loyal back towards him.
I like him. He's a good dude.
He is. He's great.
I like hanging out with him.
Yeah.
What's he think about all this?
He's loving watching it. I mean, he's been a part of it with me since I was just started. He's the reason why I even am where I am, honestly, because he's just been my rock and my support system through it all. He's the one that's given money to get me to shows. He's the one that's given his time. He's the one that's done everything. So I wouldn't be here without him, and he is really my main support system. So he's just enjoying everything.
I just give you a hard time because I like you. You know that, right?
That's sweet. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Bobby.
That's what happens.
Love-hate relationship.
There's no hate. There's no hate. Are you still dating the long-haired dude?
Yeah.
Cade.
Mm-hmm.
Where's he live? Texas still?
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys see each other ever?
Yeah. I just saw him not that long ago.
You ever come to town?
Yeah. We actually come quite often together, and we do our own stuff.
Did your dad go on your dates with you?
No.
No. Good for that. How's that going? You guys good?
It's really good. Coming up on a year, so...
Dang, it's been a year. You guys meet on the show, together. I guess, right?
Yeah. Yep, and Ryan Seacrest outed us in front of everybody. So.
We
were the first American Idol couple, actually. Some people think, Matt and Caleb were the first, but me and Kate were the first.
Okay, so how does that happen? You go on the show, do you keep it quiet from the producers at first, that you guys kind of like each other?
Yes, and then the producers literally just ask you every possible question they can and scan what's been going on, and then they told Ryan Seacrest, and he outed it, because I had no idea when he performed, and they, he did the whole reveal of everything. I was backstage oh, no.
Oh, you didn't know it was coming?
No, because we separated relationship from business. We were like, we're not gonna put this on the television because we came here to win the competition. We didn't come to have the Bachelorette on American Idol. So because we knew, we knew of Maddie and Caleb too. So we'd always go out together. So it was just funny how everything unwinded though.
And you try to keep a secret.
Did I try?
Everybody tries, right? Try to keep.
Oh, of course. You keep it on the DL.
It's crazy, the minors, they call them on American Idol.
Yeah.
You guys had your own schedule.
Yeah.
You had to go first because you couldn't do the long hours.
Right.
That'd be pretty cool to be 17 and a half and do Idol and not 18.
Right.
Because you get all the preferential treatment.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah.
Now that you pointing that out, I mean, in the beginning, because I turned 18 while on the show. So in the beginning, yeah, during all the hard parts where people had to stay super duper long, I got to go back, but then on the right timing, I turned 18, so it all worked. It was really cool.
Did you get nervous on the live shows?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when I first started, I was very fortunate not to get nerves around anybody that I sang, but American Idol absolutely was definitely a challenge because it's you have so many people telling you, look at the camera, look at this, pay attention to this, do this, do this, do this. And there's a camera with a red dot. When you see the red dot come up, there's 60 million people watching you. Don't mess up. There's three celebrities that you didn't even think were human beings also watching you and critiquing what you're doing. Don't mess up. It's yeah, so it's kind of hard. And then once you get yourself into that mode, it is so hard to get out of. It's an avalanche. It's a snowball. Don't get nervous. You get more nervous. So it was a challenge. I had to keep going back and forth with myself.
Do you watch your social media the whole time?
Did I watch my social media? Yeah. It was crazy to see everything.
To watch it grow.
Yeah. It was awesome. And yeah, it's really nice that they stuck with me. Yeah. Even after American Idol, it's really, really nice. Like with iHope, seeing that, you know, just from a straight fan base, it shot to 14 on iTunes was crazy to me. And that mean that just showed me like, wow, these people are really sticking with me even after American Idol, which means a lot.
So they're probably all listening now.
Hey.
What do you want to say to them?
I love you guys so much. You have no idea. Thank you so much to everybody that supported me, because you have no idea what it means to me, and I wouldn't be here without you. It's really all about you guys. Anytime I perform, it's about everybody else, not yourself. So just thank you so much, and we're going to do it together. Keep climbing. Madison Square Garden in 2 years.
That's the goal. That's what you used to say. That's what you would say. You moved the timeline back a little bit.
We chopped it a year because it was three, but okay, now it's 2019, so it's two.
Yeah, you would say, I'm going to play Madison Square Garden. I'm going to headline in 3 years.
Yeah.
So you have 2 years.
Now I have 2 years.
That's the goal.
Yep.
What is the goal? What do you want to do? Like, if we're back here at my house in a year, and okay, we're in front of the microphones, where do you want to be?
Where do I want to be? I want to, I think it would be so cool to be.
Do you hate the headphones? Are you, do you just
hate my earring? I have an earring.
You have an earring or an earache?
I have an earring. Hearing and it's like pressing against the earring, but it's okay. It's okay. Beauty's pain. And okay, next year I would like to be nominated for a CMA award. Yeah, I think that would be really, really cool.
That would be really cool. I'd like to be nominated for a CMA award.
I think that would be really cool. That's a goal of mine for sure. That's why I'm trying to make the best of best songs.
You know what? You know what I like about you? You have no short. There's no short of confidence with you.
Yeah.
Which you have to have. You have to have so much confidence to be here all the time. You have to be so sure of yourself.
Yeah.
And then your goals are super high, which is great.
Thank you.
And people may look at you and go, Gabby, you're crazy. But the crazy ones are the ones that are just crazy enough to make it.
Yeah.
Because I'm nuts.
Yeah.
And I've always been told, oh, you're nuts. Your goals, you need to
chill out.
They're
too big.
Yeah. No. If you don't have goals for yourself, yep, nobody else will.
Go big or go home.
No, don't go home. But what? But go
you
big.
You gotta go big.
Yeah, go big. And
or
then,
go home. I mean, if you're not going big, what are you doing?
Well, you learn when it doesn't go right and you keep going big. Don't go home.
Okay.
Don't pack up your crap and go home.
I mean, okay.
Unless you're living in Nashville, and then go back home.
Okay.
All right, listen. It's been good to see you.
You too.
We did. How long has this been? Half an hour?
Yep.
Did a half an hour interview.
Okay.
How you feel about it?
Good.
I haven't seen you in a while. I haven't seen you since the finale.
You know, I just said that to my manager coming in. I was at your door, and I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen him since American Idol. This is so weird. So yeah,
I'm growing so much. I'm a lot taller.
Yeah. You look a lot different. I'm kidding.
I was under my house, bro, before you got here trying to catch a cat. There's a cat that was under my house, and I was crawling in the crawl space, and I got it out.
You did?
Yeah.
You scared it?
Yeah, scared it out right out the other side of the outside.
There you go.
You know, you think, oh, fancy Bobby. No, you know who gets his own cat in front of the house? Me.
There you go.
There's no butler that does that. I do that.
Where they at?
Yeah, there's no butler.
No.
No, Mike D's the closest thing.
Yeah.
Not yet.
No. Listen, it's good to see you. At Gabby Barrett underscore, right? G-A-B-B-Y.
Yep.
B-A-R-R-E-T-T.
Yes, sir.
Underscore.
Underscore.
Why the underscore? Does someone already have Gabby Barrett?
Yes.
And you can't buy it from them?
Right.
Did you try?
No.
Oh, I tried. They won't sell me Bobby Bones.
No.
Why don't you try to buy Gabby Barrett?
I'm going to look into it. I have never tried that yet, so we'll see.
All that money you got from the Idol Tour.
Yeah. Yeah, but does an underscore really make like a huge difference?
Well, yeah, it's just easier to go at Gabby Barrett.
Than the underscore that's right after it.
All right, I've had enough of you.
Fair enough.
All right.
I love you, Bobby. I'm just joking.
In a year, come back, we'll talk about your CMA or ACM nomination.
All right. Sounds like a plan.
Let's see. By the way, I forgot to bring up, you have seven brothers and sisters, right?
Yes, I do.
Because you brought like half of them to my show.
Yes.
Yeah, and I was like, look at all these kids.
Absolutely.
Look at all these folks.
Yeah, because like, I'm a big fan of you, so I was like, you guys have to come. We all are big fans of you. We all would listen to you, so it was really cool. And it's really cool even being back here, so thank you very much.
Yeah. All right, Gabby Barrett, there we go. We'll see you soon.
All right.
Check out iHope, and you're going to put other music out, I'm assuming?
Yes.
This is not your last
coming very soon.
This is not your last song ever.
No.
You're saying that
within the next few weeks, you'll hear a new song.
All right, there we go. Gabby Barrett, everybody. Episode 160. Thank you.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of the values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number four best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com. You can probably spell it. You probably know it. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-lunch pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.